Well, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be. What a joy it is to come and prepare a message for the online service. We are so blessed to be able to put these together and have somebody like Phil that has all the technological skills to make sense of it all and get it out to you in a form that I hope and pray that you get something out of. Do you ever hear that term, bent out of shape? You know, he was bent out of shape. Well, let's look at that a little closer. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, New Living Translation says this. Now, Jesus was accused of healing on the Sabbath day. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and he said, "Woman, you are healed of your sickness." Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised and thanked God. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. "There are 6 days of the week for working," he said to the crowd. "Come on those days and be healed, not on the Sabbath." Wow! Now that was like the pastor of the church. But the Lord replied, red letter edition, "You hypocrite! You work on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox and your donkey from their stalls on the Sabbath and lead them out for water? Wasn't it necessary for me, even on the Sabbath day, to free this dear woman from the bondage in which she had been afflicted by Satan and held over her for 18 years? This shame his enemies." And all the people rejoiced at the wonderful things that Jesus said and did. Well, that scripture that I just read, about a woman who had been disabled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and she couldn't stand up straight, but Jesus straightened her out. Praise be to God. He also straightened out that synagogue leader or the preacher and his cohort of objectors. They were put to shame, if you would. So the story kind of reads like an interesting allegorical switch in a woman, no doubt been bent over a burden of shame heaped upon her head by the synagogue that she attended and their leaders and for her ailment, and that it was healed. And while the oppressors themselves, having been bent out of shape over Jesus' healing on the Sabbath day, became shamed for their heartlessness. Dr. Luke renders an artful literary telling of the phenomena, which all centers around the theme of shame. So, who is the one that's been out of shape? The woman, or the leader of the synagogue? The woman is healed, for the shame was put upon her and was not her own? Or the leader, however, is crooked. Now, he may have appeared to be on the straight and narrow due to his lofty position, but his true bent nature shows as his hypocrisy is revealed. Ah, sounds like a good Disney movie, doesn't it? You know, the innocent-looking old woman with the poisonous apple who transforms into a bent old witch after she carries out her deed. You know, the evil stepmother whose image in the mirror in the end shows her true identity? Or the prince changed into a beast because of his arrogance, who transforms back into human form due to his loving heart? As a matter of fact, most good folk tales and fairy tales, even great works of literature, have all had their roots in biblical stories. And this is a short, but a mighty one. So we need to kind of look at it a little closer, if you would. Bear with me. The poor woman had been disabled by a spirit for 18 years. Now that's a lot of time going by. And a long time of shaming by her community where she lived. You see, when somebody suffered an ailment in Jesus' time, they were to blame. That was the culture of the day. You must be a sinner. You must have done something wrong to get that. Not only blamed, but also shunned. Their synagogue or temple or what we would call the church leaders would assure them that their sin or their family's sin was the cause of their malaise. And so heap after heap of shame would be put upon the sufferer, who would be cast away from the community and whispered about by others. You know that girl over there, that one that's all bent up, she must have been a sinner somewhere, or maybe her family. Well, it's no mistake that Jesus healed her on the Sabbath, that is for sure. And humankind's day of respite from their toils and labors and bondage and burdens is the Sabbath. She had been set free on the very day that God declared freedom. Freedom from toil, worry, and fret. As Jesus had told his opponents formally, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. All of the synoptic gospels, which we mean synoptics, that they're all very similar. They don't quote exactly word for word, but they're very similar. That's why we call them the synoptic gospels. Quotes this more than once. For Jesus is adamant the Sabbath was not intended to burden people, but to ease their burden. Praise be to God. Now, whether the man with a withered hand or a woman bent and disabled, Jesus restored their ability to function as a part of their community again. Not only is their physical situations restored, but their dignity and their relationships, their name, their future, their shame had been negated and their sin removed, their past wiped clean. Their damaged reputations restored and straightened out. Now, Jesus' contemporaries accused Jesus of bending the rules, if you would. But Jesus reminded them that freeing someone from their burdens on the Sabbath is the greatest rule. God's rule of love and liberation trumps our petty rules and regulations that have been handed down. Now, I think for the most part of this interchange has to do with shame. For the woman may have had a physical ailment, but by far her heaviest burden had been to bear the shame caused by 18 years. Can you imagine 18 years of accusations and abuse? Now, that would cow anyone into submission, I think, and sometimes, unfortunately, it does. But restoration is the greatest when shame is removed from the equation. There's a professor and author by the name of Ben Brown, and he specializes in talking with people about the burdens of shame. Their approach leads people with this courage and vulnerability to share instead of bear their weakness and fears. The professor also wants us to know that to be vulnerable is not a weakness, but a strength. It's a courageous act. Well, be vulnerable. I like that little song, "Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher." But being vulnerable is just being yourself and being able to have courage to change, and to go forward. Well, the woman that Jesus healed was not ashamed to be there in the synagogue that day, despite her afflictions, both physical and emotional. Her spirit remained strong, and her faith in him was very evident, him being Jesus. And despite all the criticism, shame, and rebuke, no doubt leveled against her by the synagogue and the peers, you know, preachers and church people, sometimes we have to think about that, don't we? She came faithfully every time. That's why we never want to judge anybody that comes to church, whether it's just a visitor or somebody or someone in the family. We don't ever know what's going on in their life. But if we can share the gospel and to show God's love in some way, that's what it's all about. Because Jesus did not hesitate, not one single moment, but righted that wrong in an instant. He straightened out the situation. He made her upright, an upright citizen, both physically and spiritually. Again, and he declared her courageous and faithfulness and freed her. So, those who objected to Jesus interfering with their verbal stone throwing, Jesus had something stronger to say. He accused them of treating their fellow peers far worse than they would treat their ox or their donkey. If not, don't you water your animal? How can you deprive a child of God the living water of truth, love, compassion, and more importantly, community? Their hypocritical stance had revealed their own bending of God's covenant law and bending it to their own devices. You see, the shame heaped upon their peer was now their own shame to bear. Jesus righted the weights of justice and straightened out the misshaping of scripture and faith that leaders had injuriously corrupted. Wow. Got to be careful about how people twist scripture. You know, Satan knows the scripture as good as any of us. What he does, he twists them and he corrupts the scripture. So you always want to stay true to the one who wrote the scriptures, the Holy Spirit, Jesus manifested in the flesh, God Almighty. So in our lives, we too suffer sometimes, occasionally, and sometimes for a long time, maybe even a lifetime, the consequences of shame. I know I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, don't want no more. For us, our shame may have been put upon us by our own experiences and our own relationships, our mishaps, or even our misadventures, or it may be the result of our own wrongdoing. The shame that we heaped upon ourselves as self-punishment and loathing. But whatever bends us and burdens us, the good news is that we do not have to carry it, any of it anymore. No longer is it our own. This is the message of the cross, the relief of the resurrection, and that healing that Jesus provides. Instead, Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, is the bearer of our griefs and carriers of our sorrow. That goes back into the Old Testament, or the Hebrew Testament, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. For all who come to him will experience relief of their sins, release from their burdens, healing of the mind, body, and spirit, in restoration of their souls. So what burdens do you carry today? I know for one thing, a lot of the burdens that I carried for a long, long time, finally when I surrendered and I gave them to Jesus because he promised to forgive, and when he forgives, it's gone forever and ever. He said it goes into the deepest of the sea, never to be remembered again. But you know what I found? I can go and get all that burdens and sins and mess and bring it out and share the story of God's redemption power. So when I'm done sharing, it goes back to the sea, never to be remembered again. Now I know it's not easy. You got to have the courage to lay it down before Jesus, to reveal to him your doubts, your fears, your worries, anxieties, your sorrows, and to show him your anxiety and your weakness. So what do? You open up your heart to receive his mercy and grace. Because he'll do for you something you cannot do for yourself, and that's the forgiveness of sin. For Jesus, he did not come to punish you. You're doing all that is quite nicely, these things, by ourselves. Jesus came to save the world, to heal the world, to offer you hope, and to restore a peaceful spirit. Well, that's hard, though. It's not easy. But I pray that you're dealing with anything, you will have the courage to give it to the Lord. In fact, I dare you to come before the Lord of life with a trusting and faithful heart. He will always lovingly and gently refresh and restore your weary soul. You see, all of those who would criticize us or even antagonize us or attack you or curse you in your areas of shortcomings, if you would, for lack of a better term, they will not stand a chance against the Lord of love and mercy. That's why the crowd in the story today out of the scripture was rejoicing. And that's why we need to rejoice too. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Because you see, for all who come to him, who will have their burdens lifted and their hearts filled with peace. That's the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, and once you're forgiven, once you make that stand, don't let the world kind of steal your joy, because they will. It says in Luke, I think it's in the last chapter of Luke 4, that when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted for those 40 days, and after it was all done, Jesus dealt with Satan, and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God." And Satan left. But the very last verse of that scripture says, he left, but he came again to tempt Jesus. So you're always going to be having those temptations. And you just got to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan, because I am cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and I am a child of God with the gift of eternal life." Well, thank you for letting me share today, and I hope and pray you're doing well. God loves you, and so do I.